Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we're back with a Star Trek episode.
We are.
Which is very exciting. I think this series is moving along quickly.
And still providing depth, which is nice.
Yeah.
Like, there's some nice character development that I appreciate.
Yes. Speaking of Star Trek, we had a Star Trek movie day with the Star Trek A's.
We did.
We watched Star Trek the Motion Picture.
And even though there were so many people, I'm like, I won't fall asleep if there's so many people. I still almost fell asleep.
The middle of the day.
Middle of the day.
Yep. To be fair, it was a Sunday, which I feel is a very nap sort of day.
Yes. And I don't think we have the next one planned for Wrath of Khan.
We really need to, though. We should get it on the books.
Right. Along with our Lord of the Rings game.
Yes.
Gaming days. Yep. Which is actually going well. We succeeded in the last three chapters that we did on that whatever day that was.
Last Sunday.
Yep. Yes. So that was good.
It was. And it's fun to play through with more than just us to see what variations we can come up with and how it differs.
And different people's strategies. Like, one of our friends is very strategic minded. And it is very good at remembering all the cards that are out there.
Which
we would be like, hey, five turns ago, I should have used this ability.
Yes. So it's good that we have more brains at the table for that.
Yes.
Also in Star Trek news, we had a local toy store get a bunch of vintage Star Trek stuff in.
Last Saturday,
we made a journey with one of the Star Trek A's, Paul, and I spent way too much money, but I actually got one of the grails that I wanted, which is a Playmate Starship Voyager from 1995 or something like that. I still need to put the decals on because it comes with a sticker sheet.
And the sticker sheet was untouched?
Yep.
Wow.
Everything's brand new. So I already did the Excelsior. Now I need to do Voyager.
Oh.
It's a lot of little stickers, and it just has those arrows like sticker 18 goes here, and it points in the general area.
Oh, no.
And sometimes you're not sure because it's three yellow dots in a row or something. And you need to figure out, which way do I orient this then? How is it supposed to? So you just sort of freestyle.
Are you just going to have them suspended from the ceiling at some point?
Oh, that'd be fun. They do have stands. So oh,
okay. It's a lot of surface area.
It is. So we'll see where I put them. I'm not sure yet, but they're fun. The nacelles on the Voyager, there's a button to have them fold down or fold up, and it's mechanical.
Oh, it's not just a you do it yourself?
No, it's like a... And they click into place, and then you press the other button to go the other way.
Okay. Does it make a warping sound once it's done?
No, sadly.
Oh.
There are only two sounds. One is a warping sound if you press a separate button.
Okay.
And I think the other is the deflector.
The deflector has a sound?
Yeah. It lights up. The nacelles don't because of the gears.
Oh.
There's no wiring.
Gotcha.
Yeah, those light up. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun to go and support a local business. And
yeah.
You got a couple things too.
I got a Locutus of Borg Funko. I got... What else did I get?
Batista, the wrestler.
Oh, yeah. Hunk.
Yep.
And someone else, a Star Trek figure.
I don't know.
Bashir?
Maybe, yes.
I think it's Bashir.
You got Julian Bashir from Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
So that was a lot of Star Trek stuff going on.
Yeah.
Since we last recorded a Star Trek episode.
It's true. Do you have any life updates? I don't know if we do.
No, not really. It's warmer out today. Yeah. I have the windows cracked because it's like 40 degrees out right now in Minnesota.
Yeah, which is wild since it was sub-zero for so long.
Yeah, I haven't had the windows open probably since November for any sort of fresh air.
Yeah,
so,
and that's the thing that you do because I'm like, why would I put more drafts into the house?
Oh,
but our houses function very differently from each other.
Yes, and it smells good to have fresh air.
Yeah.
And then after this recording, we get to do some vacuuming because Asta has trailed hay everywhere.
Yeah, she has. Oh, Dad, I've been very intrepid.
She has been.
Which is another Starship reference.
So should we crack into issues 4, 5, and 6?
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best because I still don't remember their names half the time.
Oh.
So
I have to, well, what do their ears look like?
I know. That won't be a problem after issue 5.
Womp womp.
So Star Trek, Starfleet Academy, issue 4 is sort of written over where it says Klingon in red bloody lettering over Starfleet.
I'm so over Klingons.
I have some bad news for you. Since these were written in the 90s,
I know
there are going to be Klingons everywhere in all of these comics.
Oh, no.
Wait until we crack into the DC stuff when those were written circa starting mid-80s, where Klingons were one of the, like, two really developed alien races.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, Asta has loafed.
Oh, it's nap time. She's
loafing hard.
It's mid-afternoon on Sunday.
Yeah.
Don't we both wish we were doing that too?
Yes, I did not sleep well. But yeah. She's like full sphinxing.
Yeah. This is entitled War and Peace, Part 1 of 2. The fun credits, because we have Chris Cooper as writer and Chris Raynaud as penciler. Everyone else attached Chris to the first part of their names.
And put their actual first names in quotation marks.
Yes. Bob Harris does not get a Chris. In quotes, it says, enough already.
Yes.
All right. So we have two possible futures in play for Deep Space Nine specifically. I don't know why they focused on the future of Deep Space Nine, because we don't actually get anything at the end of part two.
I feel like this is from the point in DS9, like season 3,
okay,
4, where they're at war with the Klingon Empire.
Mm.
And there's a ceasefire. Yes. So they reference a ceasefire. So like, if anything is threatening DS9, it's the Klingons for a change and not the Cardassians.
I just am wondering why they chose to say the future for Deep Space Nine, because this series is not set near that station. We have Nog, but they chose it as the focal point to pivot between two possible futures. So the first possible future is Klingons taking over Deep Space Nine. They've killed Kira Nerys, and we have Decker and Nog basically as the only survivors.
It's wild.
And they're battling, like, Klingons. Decker, what's his first name?
It is Matt Decker.
We met Will Decker in Star Trek The Motion Picture, which you fell asleep for part of. And
he dissolved into nothingness with the corpse of his love.
Hi, Aaliyah. Let's go into nothingness.
Yeah. But they kill Kira, and like the main Klingon who's there tosses her corpse into the air and vaporizes it.
Just
like,
for fun.
What a dick.
So we have Decker and Nog battling the Klingons, and they're not holding back. They're just murdering Klingons.
Yeah, explosions of fuchsia-colored blood.
Yep.
There's Decker with an eye patch.
Yes, which Nog is like, it was fixed. Your eye is fine. You're only wearing it to intimidate.
Yeah, and he is just, he has a nickname. He's like the Scourge of Klingons or something, Decker has, for killing so many in this war.
But then we go back to the present time.
Yes.
Before these possible futures, and the cadets, they did a really good job with Red Squad, if we recall those issues.
Yeah.
So they're getting rewarded. They're like, Omega Squad, how about you take a little training exercise on a runabout with your commanding officer, Lund?
It's unnamed. What river do you think it's named after?
Are they all named after rivers fleet-wide?
Maybe, probably.
I don't know. So we have an opportunity to name it. What would you like to name this?
I would go with Yellowstone.
Okay. So they're boarding the Yellowstone, and they're debating who's going to be in charge. I have piloting experience. I have different types of it. Doesn't matter.
They're all like, ooh, me, me, me.
Yeah.
Especially Nog.
Yes. He says he has the lobes for it. And they go to like an
uninhabited planet.
Yes. So they can't fuck up things too badly. Or so they think. So
they get there safe and sound.
Yep. And Kamala, there's some hazing.
There is. Kamala's like, I did it. I was so unsure of myself, but a transporter circuit's gone out. I know where to fix it. And as she's back there on the transporter pad, they beam her a meter above a lake.
and drop her in. And Londa's like, you know she can't swim, right? And they're like, oh shit, we'll beam her right back. And she's pissed.
She's like, either give me a phaser set to kill or a hairdryer.
So then Klingons are cloaked in a bird of prey in the same system.
Yeah.
It is the first Kadra.
Yes.
If you recall our 1993 season, the Kadra from the Web of Spider-Man annual.
Yes.
This is nothing like that. It's dirty ass Klingons.
There's Murg. There's Kovold, which I feel like we've heard that name before.
Yeah.
And some Klingon lady with two apostrophes in her name.
Her name is Bessal.
B apostrophe E S S A apostrophe A L.
She has the Bator, Lursa and Bator boob window where like they are foisted.
Classic look.
It's very 90s. She has a Wonder Bra on underneath that. There's an ad for Cookie Crisp, which I can never pass by without recalling how it just tore up the roof of my mouth.
Oh,
that was a rough cereal because
that's how I feel about Captain Crunch.
And people are like, let it soak. And then no, it's mush. That's disgusting. I'm not doing that. Are you ready for the other future?
Yeah.
Deep Space Nine.
It's tinted teal instead of tinted red.
So this is very hopeful. And we have, what's her name?
Kamala. You win the names.
Commander Goldstein. And Pava is there. Pava, our Andorian crew member, shows up. And she's like, hey, I'm greeting your daughter, Kamala.
Hey, Fatima likes me.
Yay.
Even though she's pulling on one of my antennae, which feels very offensive.
So we see a little glimpse. We know that Kamala is going to make a speech.
Yeah.
About peace with the Klingons to commemorate 20th anniversary or something like that.
Like a closer alliance than they had before.
Yes.
Like a permanent peace.
So then we flash back to present time. The bird of prey is attacking the runabout. Their engines get zapped real quickly. And then Lund gets electrocuted by a panel.
Lund.
Did I think that she is named after a local high-end grocery chain here in Minnesota? Maybe.
They do have a good lunch buffet, but it's sort of expensive.
Everyone coming to the Uncanny Experience this summer, don't go to Lund's for your food in your hotel. We'll show you a better spot.
Yes.
We should offer that as a service for a fee. But do you want us to take you to a Trader Joe's? We will.
Doesn't everywhere have a Trader Joe's?
Yes, they're not convenient to where Uncanny is.
Yeah, we could go to a Cub. They have a big Minnesota grown thing.
Yes. Friends of the Pod will get free helium service as Demanda Martini got last year. But Friends of the Pod.
I still have that helium tank and I don't know what to do with it. But there's a shortage.
There is. We could always blow up a bunch of balloons. My birthday is happening the day this episode comes out.
Oh, that's fun.
But they would need to be the biodegradable ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think the buns would appreciate balloons. Like floating things, making screechy sounds.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yep.
Asta's fully on her side. She is conked out.
What a life.
She might be having bun bun dreams.
She was earlier underneath the coffee table.
Oh, mop, mop, mop. I'm dreaming of eating a treat.
Oh,
mop, mop, mop.
I gave her a hay cube and she ate half of it. And this is what happened. She's exhausted.
She has a full tum tum.
All right. So we have Zund, not Lund, incapacitated. They are running to the transporter pads within.
Because believe it or not, a panel blew up.
Yes.
What is up with the Starfleet panel?
So they figure out our shields are down. They're about to board, but if they're going to board, they have to lower their shields momentarily to do that. So we are going to switch places with them.
As seen in the DS9 episode with Kira and Dukat on some crappy Cardassian ship.
Yeah.
Cargo transport. And they take out a Klingon bird of prey.
So as they switch positions, we see one of the Klingons make some eye contact.
Yeah.
With
Pava.
Pava, not Kava. it's like, huh? And then they're gone. And the Klingons catch on right away. They're like, we've been bamboozled. We need to go back.
It's true.
But too late, because the Starfleet cadets shoot the transporter person, and there's one other person on the bridge, and they're like, get back in the closet.
And he's like, no, I'm going to blow up this panel.
Yeah.
So the art on this splash page is pretty... Is it a splash page?
It is. You love splash pages.
Like, the detail on the ships is just so good.
Yes, it is.
Like, it's all the feathers for that bird of prey.
So they've now switched ships, but both ships are going down very quickly towards this uninhabited planet.
Yes.
And they crash.
Yeah, they do. Because of... And miraculously, almost everyone survives. One of the Klingon prisoners does not.
The Starfleet cadets did a good job of landing this bird of prey. It's pretty perfect. It's just sitting there.
Yeah, with that long-ass neck and random bridge contraption.
Hatch. There's a hatch.
Oh.
I didn't know that. Well, I guess I did. I thought it was further back on the body of it, based off of Star Trek 4.
Yeah.
Where they're in the park in San Francisco.
Oh, I thought you meant like when they're in the ocean.
Oh, that too. But also...
Yeah.
When they're just cloaked in a city park.
I also don't like that torpedo launcher right there.
Where it comes out like a little star.
Yeah. Well, I guess that is kind of cool. It was featured prominently in the movie that we saw with our friends.
All right. So we have an ad here, which I don't know if I've run across one of these. It's from Mile High Comics, where we're going next month.
Oh, I still need to ask Mira if we can go.
Where
put it on our itinerary.
I think we should be able to make a quick stop.
Yeah.
Everything I hear is very expensive, like it's overpriced, but you go there for the experience of having the biggest comic shop you've ever seen in your life.
Sort of like Midtown Comics is an experience to go to.
Yes. Except this one, like I'll go in and buy like one issue or something.
Oh.
And be like, okay, I got my one purchase.
Maybe they'll have the Tulaski cover of Frankenstein.
Oh, this is for an email sign up.
It
where
is.
You can get I Want It All, which would encompass all news alerts, autograph signings, major purchases, and auctions, where you can sign up for general, like, I want to know about these titles or these sorts of books or cards. Star Trek, you could sign up for all comics or, in italics, stuff.
Oh, that's a catch-all.
Yes. They don't even break it down, and they have cards. But it's like Magic gaming cards. They don't even have Star Trek CCG.
Oh.
Rude. Anyway.
Remember when we were going to play that and I assembled my deck and then you called and you're like, I got into an accident on the interstate?
Oh, yeah.
Then we never played it again.
Our friend Josh, one of the Star Trek guys, is up for playing it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Can you do three people?
No.
Oh.
That's the tough part.
I can take a nap while you two play.
Okay. All right. So it is now nighttime and we have... one of the Klingons, the Klingon that made intense eye contact.
Kovold.
Yes, Kovold.
Speaking of intense eye contact, it looks like both his eyes have been carved out of his head. Like,
yeah, the shadowing.
The shadowing.
And this is where we have Java.
Pava. Oh. Are you just picking consonants now?
Yes.
Pretty soon she'll be molten like lava.
Yeah, so they get in a fight. They know each other, though, and they're about to stab each other, and then they fuck.
Way to sugarcoat it. Just like straight out.
They do. They start making out. They're like, why fight when we can fuck?
I love you so much. Now my blood is up. Which Andorians and Klingons is not a bad pairing. Both warrior races, both have an intense honor code. Like, I can see it.
Yes.
It also explains why Pava was an exchange student on Kronos.
Okay. So.
That's the issue?
That's the issue.
Because now we're at the letters page?
The letters page. Do we want to know about Matt Decker's background? Because I have an answer here.
Well, we get to it in one of these.
This breaks down further.
Oh.
Like, it's not just like... So, Cadet Matt Decker is the son of Admiral Dennis Decker, who is currently active in Starfleet, and the grandnephew of Willard Decker, who appeared in Star Trek The Motion Picture. Will, in turn... was the son of Commodore Matt Decker, who appeared in the original Trek episode, The Doomsday Machine.
Oh.
And yes, dying young does seem to run in the family.
I guess they have to get their genes into the next generation and then they can die off.
Mm. We have an editorial profile on Bobby Chase, who edits this book. And she went and visited the Paramount lot.
Oh, that's fun.
She got to see Avery Brooks and says Ooh. He is very handsome.
Ooh.
And she says Kate Mulgrew is much prettier in real life than she is on the show.
Oh.
I think the hairdo they gave Catherine Janeway in the really first, aged her up. Like
in the first season?
First couple seasons, like the very tight and severe bun.
Yeah.
I feel that prematurely aged her.
Huh.
All right. Any thoughts on this issue before we go into part two?
No.
Okay.
I got nothing.
So this one, we have a cover of Matt Decker screaming at the sky while holding one of the two that has dark hair, but there's the braid.
So it's Camilla. Yes. Or Kamala.
Camila. Love and Death. We still have
Is not the same title as the first issue, right?
No, this does not say part two. It's War and Peace, part one of two. Now this is Love and Death. No part listed.
No. That's a
Bobby Chase. Bobby Chase. This was your job.
I mean,
but I still need to interview you for my book, so please don't listen to this.
I mean, life happens.
It does. The one thing I did do an interview for the book yesterday, which you heard probably through the wall.
Yes.
Like distinct talking sounds.
Yes.
And a really key thing, because I was talking with a managing editor for Alpha Flight, and I don't know if this will make the book or not, it's just general stuff that really struck me. And he said, if a book is good, then the writer and the artist get credit. If the book is bad, editorial gets the blame.
Oh.
It's not the writer and the artist.
Interesting.
So it's their job to really make sure things are tight. And it was really interesting talking with him. It was Marcus McLaurin, just to spoil one of the interviews for my book. And just breaking down what he did and how editors do stuff and how these different roles create things. So like the writer is working on a script, maybe four issues in the future. You have your penciler working on three issues in the future. You have your inker working two issues in the future, and your letterer is working on the next issue.
Oh.
So it's your job to line manage all of that going on.
Oh, very project manager.
Yes. And make sure all the ducks in a row, and that characters, if they are being changed, it makes sense. Okay. So here in this title, in one of the letters that I want to call out in one of these next two issues, gets to the core of that, where you can play in a sandbox and it's not going to fuck up much. Like, you are not writing a Spider-Man, where if you do something to Spider-Man, it needs to make sense wherever Spider-Man is appearing. Or if you're writing in a location, and he gave the example, if you have an earthquake in New York City, it can't just happen in one title.
Oh.
You as the editor need to go talk to the other editors and see if they're on board for all the titles happening in New York that they can work a reference in. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
It's sort of like the moon was blown up in like a Fantastic Four,
yes,
but the Summers still had their house on the moon in X-Men.
Yep.
Yes.
That's bad editing.
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, Love and Death. We have a possible future, and this is the lovey-dovey one. So we have Shava.
And Kobold. And they Kobold, get married.
They get married. They're making out when Kamala? Goldstein walks in with her daughter, named after her mother.
Fatima.
Yes. And she's like, can you not make out after 10 years of marriage? Just quit. And Fatima is giggling. She's a little girl. She's probably like 5,
yeah,
6, somewhere in there.
She thinks it's fun when her auntie and uncle,
yes,
kiss or something.
So they sort of have quips back and forth. And then she says, I have to finish my speech. Can you watch this kid? And walks away. And Fatima is like, now that she's away, you can grab each other some more if you want.
Oh,
no, yeah. Thank you, small child. I think I'm done now.
And it's very amicable and like, oh, we've come a long way since that time on the planet we almost killed each other.
So
then we flash back to the planet when they tried to kill each other.
No, first they're meeting each other.
Oh, it's a flashback within a
flashback within a possible future where
the possible future is flashing back to when Pava was an exchange student on Kronos when they first met
and they hooked up, and he didn't realize he would be so heartbroken when she left.
Isn't there a whole thing about the Klingon heart? There was that whole episode with Jadzia getting married. Nothing can stand before a Klingon heart.
I got that at the toy store. Jadzia in Klingon attire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now I can have little Jadzia and little Worf get married.
No. Do you have his wedding outfit?
No.
Oh.
He can just deal.
Oh. I guess it's the shiny metal outfit and not her wedding dress.
Oh.
Just like true. It's not his like nice red coat.
Yes. All right. So then we get to the action where they're down on the planet and wow, they fucked all night.
They did. It's almost morning.
And she's moaning, oh, every time we do that, my neck aches afterwards. At least for once, we managed to keep the volume down. We can't risk waking the rest of First Kadra. And then
we find out that not everyone in the First Kadra is asleep. But Elena S.
Yes. But before that, she's like, it'll be light soon. Your watch is almost over. Let's not waste what little time we have together. So stop talking and start being a pain in the neck. They go for like round 500.
Oh,
and
the stamina.
This is where the Klingon woman is peeking around the corner because she is hot on Kobold.
Yeah, she is. When they first landed, she's like, oh, I don't want anything to happen to you and that body of yours.
Yeah. So then they hear her running off and Kobold is like, oh no. And Rava is like, let me comfort you. And she's like, yoink, got your disruptor, bye, and runs.
Yeah.
She was using her vajay as a distraction all night leading up to this point.
Yeah. And then we find out that Nog has snuck into the Klingon camp and purloined all the disruptors.
Yep. So all the disruptors have been stolen. And then the Kadra finds out because they wake up, they start slapping Kobold around. And figure out we need to go and find these stupid Federation cadets. The bad future on Deep Space Nine when they are still killing Klingons and going through
Jeffrey's tubes.
Yes, but they're not Jeffrey's tubes.
They're access tunnels.
So they go to the medical bay.
Because Nog has been shot in the arm.
And they're like, maybe as long as that's not taken over, we have a bit of a chance because it's the most heavily fortified spot on the station. They see Dr. Bashir and everyone else is dead in there.
Julian.
We do have a nice triangle pillow.
Oh, yes.
Of course. And
that's a nice detail to put in.
And Nog's like, I'm dying. Those doors won't last for long. Tell me about the time we were on the planet, please.
So it's a way to transition from the flash forward to the present tense,
which yes.
Doesn't always happen.
So then we have a Klingon who dies.
Oh, yeah. And it's very...
You hated this.
I did. It's very, like, cyanide pill in a fake tooth sort of thing, except it's a micro dagger under his tongue that he stabs up through the roof of his mouth into his brain.
That tongue must know how to do so many things.
And that mouth must be very broad.
Oh.
Yes.
No.
Like, it's... Just give him a poison pill.
So then they hear people screaming to the heavens and they think to themselves, I didn't know that there were giant carnivores here. And someone's like, nope, that is actually them screaming to the heavens. It's Klingons.
This would be a good opportunity for Nog and his lobes to come in handy to be like, someone's coming from very far away.
And he says, but that means they heard their friend here die. And the Klingons burst forth with the Batless because, of course, they have hand weapons.
Yes. They went back to the ship, I think,
yeah,
to retrieve them.
So we have Federation cadets with the Klingon disruptors that are not working because the Klingons, before they went to sleep, disabled all of them, except Kobold was on watch, so he didn't.
Right.
So we have...
The cadets getting their asses kicked.
Yes, but this one.
Camilla?
Yes.
Kamala. I keep putting an A versus an I sound.
Kamala has Kobolds, but she gets whacked with a Batleth. She's jumping around, trying to avoid things. And
Pava's kicking ass.
Yep. But then we have Pava basically throw down a Klingon challenge and say, all right, let's boil it down to one-on-one combat.
Like you do.
Yes.
So, and the Klingons are like, yeah.
Yeah, Koel's like, all right, I accept. And then it is...
Well, Murg, the captain, accepts and is like, Koval, for your dishonor, for being shitty at being on watch, and you need to fight.
Yes. And then Kamala's like, I'm going to do it. And Pava's like, no.
My friend versus my lover. Oh.
And then Pava's like, I have more experience. It sort of makes sense that I do this. So.
Right. She's supposed to have a speed advantage over Klingons.
Yeah, her stats are like better if you look at them in video game terms.
But are they?
No.
So we get a cool, like,
double page spread.
A string of vertical panels through the middle of the present day. Up above, you get a horizontal panel of Decker killing Klingons in that war future.
Yeah.
And then Kamala giving her speech on the bottom in the teal future of peace.
So this battle rages on and we're like, which way is it going to go? And Kamala gets the upper hand on the Klingon, who's like, Kobold's like, kill me.
And she doesn't want to. She's like, we can be peaceful.
Yes.
And Decker's like, no, look out. Murg uses his mouth dagger
and spits it
at Decker and
it hits him in the eye.
It does. It slices his eye across.
So RIP Decker's one eye.
And Kobold, even though he theoretically knows he's fighting his lover's best friend,
stabs her in the guts.
Stabs her with a Batleth.
Yep. And then we see the end of the peaceful future.
Well, metaphorically dissolved. The image isn't dissolving, but no Fatima, no peace.
Friendship's gone. Love's lost. Words never spoken. Fading to nothingness.
So then the Klingon's like, okay, bye.
Yeah. And
they just walk off.
They walk off with her body and they get back to the academy. Grund.
Zund. It'll be a new set of consonants next week.
Yeah. I need a cheat sheet. Laminated for this series. And she is talking with a Klingon official and saying, I want the first cadre. Like,
she wants them on that prison planet, Roar Pente?
Yes, where she sees in Star Trek 6, the Undiscovered Country.
Yes, like, I want them there left to rot.
And the Klingon is like, they've been punished already, it's fine.
They've been formally punished, but there's enough people who are cheering them on for having killed a Starfleet cadet.
Yep. And that's the end of that issue.
Yeah.
We do see, I'm trying to find the specific
letter.
Yeah, there was one I thought I saw in here. It must be in the next one. Never mind. You go ahead.
Okay. So we have issue number 6 from May 1997, introducing the new recruit. And it's Pava and Tapriel and some new guy falling into a vortex.
Yeah.
And so we get some nice development here. We get Boothby with some roses that are being beamed away. And the person in the background is like, Boothby, what have you done to your prize roses? And he's all, I have cut them and beamed them to where they are needed. It may be midnight at the academy, but in Jerusalem, it is dawn.
And we get a funeral.
We do. We get a whole procession. The Omega Squad is in their dress uniforms, which are very long.
Yeah.
They're like practically robes. We have Chris Cooper writing, Chris Renaud as penciler, and all the same people from before.
All right.
So Passages is the name of the issue. And there's an imam and a rabbi leading the service. And the imam was like, I was going to say something pious, but when I looked up to all your faces, I realized that in the matter of the death of Camilla Goldstein, Allah has already spoken. For some nice words about the unity that she lived for and gave her life for. Mm. Let no one say she died for nothing, for with this very gathering, Allah has said otherwise. Like, that's like a whole nice speech. You get people grieving, like Pava weeping into her hands, the parents embracing each other. You get the top part of Nog's head where you can see his tears. Zund is looking pissed.
And it's interesting that we actually get Earth-based religions represented.
Yeah.
Which never really happens in Star Trek.
Yeah. So the parents are there, and Pava embraces Fatima and says, Camilla was the best of us. She most understood what Starfleet was all about. And the mom was like, she actually admired you, Pava, for your free spirit and lack of inhibitions. And don't let that spirit be consumed by thoughts of revenge for Camilla's death. That may be the Andorian tradition, but our ancestors learned just how costly vengeance can be. So in her head, Pava's like, oh no, I've already made my vow of vengeance. This is a little bit late. Decker and Nog are hanging out, noticing that Pava's in bad shape and that it's Zund that is the most puzzling. But, like, to Priyal, you get, like, she's Vulcan.
Yeah.
But Zund has already moved on, and there's a new recruit that is going to be a part of Omega Squad. It's only been a few days. By the way, Decker, how's the new eye? And Decker's like, it itches, but it's got an infrared thing, and I can zoom in.
Wow.
So he zooms in on this person on a hover bike that is out of control. Like, the dude is drugged out.
Yeah.
And he runs into the funeral party. And he falls into the grave right on top of Camilla.
He's like, just my luck. I meet a hot chick and she's dead.
Oh my goodness.
It's so gross.
It's so gross. Pava's like about to rip him limb from limb, which, as she should. And this guy is like, what? Your fists are going to make first contact? Typical Starfleet. Pardon me if I'm not threatened by a man in a dress. And he just sort of rides away. And T'Pril, it has, like, sees herself in the grave.
Yes.
She's having weird things happening.
There's something going on with her.
We already know that she may or may not be a Romulan spy.
Yeah.
So we get a scene between T'Pril and Pava where they're like, I didn't really get to know you before. Let's start over and become friends. And they shake hands and walk away as the petals from Boothby's roses blow away in the breeze.
So sad.
It actually was a surprisingly poignant moment for a comic aimed at teens.
Yeah.
So at the Academy, 2 days later, we get Admiral Brand packing up her stuff.
And she's like, Red Squad fiasco sort of made it clear that I can't handle the Academy. So best of luck.
Red Squad's Academy training must have been ethically flawed, and I take full responsibility. And the new person is like, oh, I heard there's one squadron that stood up to Red Squad. And they're like, yeah, Zahn's team, unusual group. They lost a fine cadet fight in Klingons. Replacement joins them, part of Command's new anti-changeling protocols. Okay, bye. And so Interim Superintendent Admiral Pradesh is there, and he instantly deletes all the files on Red Squad and pulls up the files on Omega Squad, which really is giving Doge vibes.
Yes, it is.
Oh, we're going to accidentally delete anything that we don't like and could incriminate us. We're going to go after people instead. So there's someone new arriving in one of those very boxy shuttlecraft. Doesn't even have a name. It just is 509-A. And Decker's like, I hope it's Yoshi, but it's not.
His BFF from the first issue.
It's Adam Astron, the dick who lost control of his motorbike and ran into a funeral.
Yeah, and he's like, I was supposed to be introduced to you that day, but like it went really bad, so we decided maybe not.
Yeah, just wait a few days, and then it'll be totally better. And everyone's like, what? No, he can't be a cadet. He has missed months of training. Zund is like, you'll find him up to speed. And Pava goes in to punch him out, except he punches her first, which is out of character. So, yeah, this guy's such a dick. More Starfleet, kick teeth in now, ask questions later, just like your Klingon boyfriend. The one who murdered your pal. You still love him, you know, even though you do plan to kill him.
Yeah.
And Decker also takes a swing at this guy. But he's like, I'm a Betazoid. And does the pink telepathic powers overwhelming Decker? And then he just sort of glares at Nog of like, oh, Ferengi, we can't read them.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what a dick.
Yeah.
And then he goes up to Priel and is like, I sense some depth to you, something rare, something conflicted, far too special for the Starfleet dump. And it's like, why are you even here? And he says this to annoy his parents.
Ugh.
We get a cosmic page, some weirdly illuminated figures just floating out in space. It's like the little lightning people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not strong enough for whatever it is that's about to begin. And the other person is like, there's time. Time before our full strength will be needed. And the person's like, but even then. And this person's like, you will not doubt. You will, dude. And once we have succeeded, we will change the fate of the galaxy. End interlude.
Mm.
So we're not coming back to these people for a while.
No.
But at least it sets up like a big, bad, overarching.
Yeah. Not threat. In this issue, at the very least, and not in this episode.
No. So they're in the physics lecture. Decker and Nog are chatting.
They're like, how is this dude?
How can he skip out on class? He just sort of walked away. And Decker's like, apparently they're trying to recruit telepaths because shapeshifters come in many forms, but they can't hide their thoughts.
And he can use his telepathy to catch up on all the material he's missed by downloading it from other people's brains.
I feel like that's not how it works.
No, it isn't. You still have to, like, know.
And even Loxana, to some extent, has some guardrails of propriety. Like, she doesn't go running around reading everyone that she runs across. Yeah. And she didn't have any trouble with 1,000 people on the Enterprise.
No.
But this dude can't even handle a lecture.
So he's like off to the side taking some drugs.
He is. T'Pril walks in.
It's a prescription, in. But...
he's trying to wean himself off. So it dampens the telepathy and helps keep his sanity in crowds. And he and T'Pril have a moment. And she's like, help me with the voices in my head. Some chatter about the differences in telepathy. Is this leading up to telepathy war?
Oh.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Because Vulcans have limited telepathy. Mm-hmm. That's why they need the physical contact. But there's an alarm going off in a lab, and Adam, mm-hmm. named after a cheese, is like, there's someone in there, but the singularity sensors and comms can't reach them. So they get to the door. This dude is like, stay away. Safety protocols are in place. And Adam is like, no, I can override the security code from this dude by pulling the password out of his mind.
And he opens up the door, and it's a mini black hole, basically, trying to suck everything in. And the security guy turns to him and says, you really fucked up. You could endanger everything here.
Even Decker is like that. He's like, there's safety protocols exist for a reason.
Yeah.
And like, does this bullion get sucked into a black hole? Maybe, but at least the rest of the academy would be safe.
So then they start the linking hands thing as each one is trying to save.
Yeah. And this mini black hole is getting bigger. The more mass it consumes, the stronger the pull. The bullion is like all sorts of inky swirling into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like his legs before, and now his forehead is being sucked in. And Adam even just pulls the information out of the professor's brain for how to disperse the black hole, the mini black hole.
Mm-hmm.
So Nog does the thing. Pava's like, T'Pril, I won't let you go, even though it's illogical. And they save the day. And Decker's like, you could have just gotten us all killed. And Adam's like, but I didn't. I saved a life. And that's what really bothers you, Decker. And Decker's like, you should know the main lesson is teamwork. You do well to remember that. Cut to later. There's some funky greenish chartreuse.
Yeah.
Chartreuse is the theme. Images of Adam running through a hallway. And a like very Dumbo looking Ferengi. Like the ears are dramatically wrong.
Yeah.
Image of him shooting Adam. But Nog wakes up in what a terrible nightmare. He goes to the door and he's under arrest for the attempted murder of Cadet Adam Astron. To be continued. Womp, wow. Womp, womp.
Yeah. The letter I wanted to reference is from Dallas Johnson of Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, do you want to go there for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I do. Two questions. Are any Deep Space Nine characters going to appear in this book?
Besides corpses?
We'd like to announce here and now that in fall of next year, we've got a humdinger of a story that is guaranteed to knock your pips off. We don't want to let too much out, other than to say that this title will be involved, as will two other Star Trek books.
Telepathy War.
Except it's three other Star Trek books.
Oh.
But the other question, how about a Starfleet Academy / Generation X crossover?
That would be very hard to do.
There are no plans for a Gen X Starfleet Academy crossover as of yet, but with enough reader support, anything is possible. I wish I could go back and write a letter.
Oh.
That'd be fun.
That would be interesting. Like two young classes of students.
Yes. So those were our three issues. Any final thoughts on them?
I don't like this new person. He's a dick.
Okay. Yeah.
And like, not how I want Betazoids represented.
Yeah. We always want more Betazoid content, but
like,
and they seem to be letting him get away with a lot under the auspice of, we need to stop changelings. So we're bringing in people who can read minds, even if they're sort of shits.
Yeah. Like, he ran into a funeral and almost fell into, he did fall into a grave.
Yes. Like, well tweaking.
Yeah. Not okay.
No. All right, everyone. Let us know your thoughts on what's progressing here in Starfleet Academy, and we will catch you next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.